information. So and then she asked for some help.
Okay, cool.
Hello. Hello, welcome. This is Monday evening, and this is Access Astrology, three astrologers who speak on Monday evening and take questions from email or from phone calls, and we'll introduce ourselves. I'm Mark Wolf in New York City, Manhattan, on the west side, and over on the east side is...
I'm Ann Ortley, and I'm on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk.
And this is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from very snowy St. Paul, Minnesota, where we have 2 feet of snow out there under a 12 degrees sky. So, and more snow due tonight. Okay,
wow.
20 inches, not 2 feet, but close.
Still counts.
Yeah,
feels like a lot of snow.
You know, four more inches. Four more inches would count, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it sure felt like it, but it's amazingly hard in a city. In North Dakota, when we'd have two feet of snow, mm-hmm. There were places to put the snow, but in a city there really isn't. So it's tricky shoveling.
Yeah.
Right, cause there's
because
nowhere to put
there's
it.
No place to put the yeah, nowhere to go with it. And there are streets that are not. Our street was plowed, you know, 2 days after the storm cleared, and we did better than some.
Right. Well, I have to say the video of the wall of the ceiling collapsing was pretty impressive.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was kind of like here it is, it's going down now. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
But nothing else collapsed.
No, just lots of snow. But I do think people are really having...
Meanwhile, here we are in the beginning of another Mercury retrograde period.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
How's everybody doing with that?
It has been here. We've had to cancel everything this weekend because of the Mercury retrograde. The football team had to cancel their... game because of the snowstorm, and
actually
I've
they
had,
went to Detroit, didn't they?
They went to
Detroit.
They moved it to the next night and then moved it to Detroit.
Yeah.
And we've had it just you know today I ran to get my my boxes to the post office right before it closed, and I got some packages in, and we you know with great mess we got them all mailed, and then I ran out and they locked the door behind me, and I realized my car keys were in there.
Oh.
In the car?
In the post office that they had just locked.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So I had to go around the back and try to find somebody to go search for them for me. It was, you know, and that took another. They were at the post office inside, mm-hmm. locked in.
Oh, you knew where you left them?
Yeah.
I knew where they were, but it's that kind of one thing after the other that we expect with Mercury retrograde.
You expect the excitement with Mercury retrograde. It tends to get a little rocking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It really does. Yeah.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So
and you, how have
Mercury
you
two
been doing?
What'd you guess?
I'm doing okay, but personally, I never feel the Mercury retrograde until.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and then everything falls apart. But at this point,
there is too early for you. Too early in the cycle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel the
same. Good. Well, this is a pretty heavy Mercury retrograde because it's in Capricorn along with Mars and Pluto
mm-hmm.
and the
mm-hmm.
North Node.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a combination. And they're all mm-hmm. hovering right around 5 degrees of Capricorn at this
yes.
point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we're getting... It's actually kind of instructive because... We've been speculating about all the things that Pluto and Capricorn will bring us over the next decade, right? And we get a little sense of that now because there's a little team sport going on in early Capricorn. And so mm-hmm. we can see how the play goes on between these three planets and the node, and it gives us kind of a sense of how Pluto is going to play with all the other planets from its place in Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I say it's kind of it's a good one to watch. Because if Mercury were somewhere else, you know, not related to Pluto, it wouldn't be giving us instructions about that. But this one is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mars is there bringing lots of fire and action to it. So.
Right. Well, I've kind of noticed it's bringing up people's shadow stuff, you know. A lot of people getting irritated or angry about things and then kind of going, arr, and then it's very much tied to really old issues, you know, where people get very irritated and then they go, all right, well, then I'm not going to rah, 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 rah. And I know I've had a few of those talking to me and kind of said, well, you know, you don't have to. This is an old issue. What is it? And I think that, you know, we're all very sensitive to projection on this, where we project our stuff onto other people or, you know, feel judged or judgmental. You know, it's kind of a, and I think certainly, you know, it's one of those things that you want to watch when you're feeling judgmental or when you're feeling judged, kind of say, okay, so where's this from and how old is it and do I have to fix it or can I, you know, what do I have to do? And if you stand in that place, it can give a little clarity, but I do think that it's a reactive, because it is Pluto. And people are feeling maybe that they can't do it directly or that they have to be a little manipulative or controlling to get what they want. And that always works, you know, on some level. But it also is going to produce a bit of a backlash when you do it that way. So I think it's an interesting thing. I had someone get very upset about a situation. And they felt that they'd asked all the right questions and that they felt like they'd been deceived. But they hadn't been. They, you know, it had simply been a miscommunication. And when in hindsight, when they played back what had actually been said, it was, oh, yeah, it's clear this could be multi-part. They just hadn't anticipated. And so I think one of the things we want to watch is where we're getting when I know when my feelings get hurt, I'm kind of looking and saying, okay, my feelings are hurt by that. Why? What is it? And then the next part is, why am I reacting to it? Because often there's a sense of some kind of old shame issue or old Saturn issue. So it's really Venus in Scorpio is, you know, she's playing in the shadow part of Venus. And what our desire is this. And then what we get is that. And we go, that's not what I wanted. And that reaction when we go, that's not what I wanted. It's like, okay, well, what did you want? And why are you so mad? Because you didn't get it. Just try again. You know, there's ways to get it, but everybody's a little short-tempered. And also tonight, the Mercury-Mars-Pluto aspect is perfect, was around 7:30, so people are really feeling that energy, kind of watching, you know. So I had it in the class tonight.
At 4 degrees in Capricorn.
Yeah. My class tonight, we had a little flare-up, and I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, okay, your issue was this, and your issue was that, and I kind of went around the room. Everybody had an issue with something, and everybody kind of went, right, that was my issue, you know. And it was interesting because it was a flare, and it was kind of like, okay, let's sit and own it and say, okay. And it was an interesting process because we don't normally do that in my astrology class, but it was like, oh, no, this is a good class to do it, to show you what the energy looks like because it is kind of fast. It's fast-moving, too. Flare's quick. So it's an interesting
time. And Venus has gone back to where it was in before it turned retrograde. I mean, it's in that shadow part that it was going over. And so I'm seeing not as well as Mercury retrograde sending us back to long-term issues, which it does, brings up all the people from the past, which is natural around the holidays or when you're opening up memories as you pull out Christmas decorations or you think about who you might contact or see over the holidays. Mm-hmm. So, but besides that, I've seen that the ongoing emotional issues that we were working on this fall, especially when last time Venus was in the mid Scorpio degrees, she was surrounded with all the other planets in Scorpio. And it was a very kind of intense, broody time in mid-October when a lot of people's biggest self-doubts or relationship worries or concerns or financial worries or concerns were up. Now, we're back at that place, but we might be able to take a look at it yes, she will bring up those spikes of feeling with Venus and Scorpio, but she, and the hunger to push our relationships into something more. Can we deepen all of our friendships or get rid of the ones that we can't deepen? So it's not as a light as sociable holiday season as it might normally be. It's one of the, want less people, more depth. But where I'm seeing some real improvement on those issues that people were, that were just making them spark earlier this fall, they're taking it in a bit deeper, looking at them with a little less histrionics and a little bit more depth. Not necessarily to find any solutions right now, but just really looking at them with more depth. And I think that Venus in Scorpio by herself and all the Capricorn planets working on it is an interesting process. So there really is a question of what do we want to cut off? What do we want to release in this Mercury-Pluto-Mars conjunction? Mm-hmm. Where do we want to put our determination?
Right.
Otherwise it gets snarky around the edges.
Well, it is a snarky around the edges thing. People are really in snarky
mm-hmm.
moods. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you own your inner snarky, you say, you know, I'm feeling really snarky about that. You know, and I am. I'm snarky. It's like, okay, good. You're snarky. What are you going to do about it? You know, how's that helping mm-hmm. the greater good of humanity? And mm-hmm. is it or isn't it? And if it's not, then, you know, but if it is, then, you know, you kind of just, you know, the other part is it's Mars and Pluto, which is war. People want to declare war or be mm-hmm. be angry about stuff. And I think turning that energy towards something productive is always really helpful. Sometimes in the mm-hmm. moment it's hard to, but then when you realize you were really mm-hmm. annoyed about something, then you say, okay, let me come up with a better way to use this, and then direct it. And I think that mm-hmm. helps. That can help a lot, too, because it really is a lot of energies, and it does want to go someplace. So give it a home or give it a direction so it can go fight a battle in another area and do productive
things. I heard a little scenario today about Mercury retrograde communication going off track.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded to me like what happened was Mercury retrograde slid into a ditch.
it was in our snowstorm.
The North Node ditch, right? Because the mm-hmm. North Node can be like a ditch mm-hmm. you slide into. And but then Mars was there, and if you can get Mars to push, right, you can get that thing out of the ditch. And you have to do it quick, otherwise Pluto's in the ditch too. And if Pluto jumps into the fray, you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You might never get out of that ditch. But,
yeah, well,
anyway,
I think you want
to identify Mars.
Yeah. I kind of like the North Node there, though, because it seems to say to me that the struggle we're in now, and I'm seeing this very much in the political headlines, that there's just a lot of struggle on all sides, and struggle that we might be doing in our personal lives can be for the greater good with that North Node there. They can be that we can get somewhere with this. It doesn't have to just be struggle. That doesn't mean we will get somewhere with it, of course, because, you know, conjunctions are open doorways. We have to walk through them. But it feels like that it doesn't have to be a struggle for no purpose. One of the things I'm noticing with a couple of my clients is people who are prone towards depression, especially depression around issues of self-worth around their work, because this is line up in Capricorn, and one of the Capricorn, it needs to feel honorable, it needs to feel like it's getting somewhere, or it can feel like it's sliding down the hill. It's the mountain goat wants to go up or it goes down. And that Capricorn lineup, and when they're getting depressed around their work, it's affecting their lungs, which I associate with that Mercury. So I have three clients wrestling with depression around work-related issues and self-worth and getting, you know, pneumonia, bronchitis, and it's not going away. And I think they're getting at some, you know, real key pieces about who are they, how can they love themselves, not so completely identify with their job, which I think is so many people are facing right now. with the unemployment rates at ridiculous proportions and four people applying for every job, minimum. I mean, there are four people ready for every job, learning to love us and respect ourselves, not based on our jobs, but based on what we can do and who we are as a whole being, not just what we get paid to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a key issue around this lineup.
Well, but the whole thing with Capricorn is it says to you, you are what you do. And unfortunately, in our culture, we've got a fairly Calvinistic, view of the thing. You know, like if I'm successful, I must be better than you because I've, whatever.
Right.
It's got an interesting
spin on it. Well, I think that's being challenged.
It is being challenged. Because it's got nothing to do with reality, but there's also the other, I mean, it does have to do with reality, but it also has nothing to do with the ongoing economic stuff.
Even if you are what you do, you aren't just what you do that you get paid for.
Right.
And, that's...
So that's a reflection of who your soul is.
Mm-hmm.
It reflects back, yeah. And I think as, the economic piece, we look at the charts, we say, this economic thing can go on for a very, very long time. So if we're not going to be depressed, we have to find different ways to define ourselves other than the work we do or don't have.
Right.
And other than what we, my dream was always to have this. It's like, okay, so if that dream isn't happening quite the way you wanted, what's the next version of the dream? And I think it's an interesting time because we really are being asked to challenge those things and come up with new visions,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to changing or saying, well, it has to be this way or else. The paradigm's changing, and when Uranus goes into Aries, I mean, I don't know if you guys were paying attention to England. They were raising the tuition three times from what it was normally. And there were riots in the streets. They were trying to burn down the Christmas tree in Trafalgar Square. And they attacked the king and yelled off with their heads. And, it was kind of like, oh, wow. And there was a picture of Camilla looking very upset, which I think if someone rocked my car, I would probably look very upset. But it's also like, what is being done? How are we working with this on a systemic level to work with what's going on? And the level of impatience is bubbling. I don't know. Is up. People are impatient.
Wait till Uranus goes into Aries.
I know. We think it's exciting now. It's really going to rock then.
Oh yeah. No! I agree completely on that.
Yeah.
That I do think that the rebellion or the rebellious energy is just about to blow when Uranus goes into Aries.
Yeah.
But did you see
it
tonight? Yeah, go ahead.
What happens now is we sort of, there's kind of a picking going on.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
mm-hmm.
various issues are being sounded, and
mm-hmm.
collectively
mm-hmm.
we're deciding which issues we're going to actually take up when Uranus goes into Aries.
That's an interesting way of putting it.
Yeah.
There's an interesting, tonight, though, if you are walking around under these Arctic skies, the stars are very clear. And the Moon-Jupiter conjunction, you can't see Uranus right there, but if you go out tonight, you'll see Moon and Jupiter very close together. And Uranus is sandwiched in between them, all in Pisces. The Moon is entering Aries later tonight. But that I think is great medicine for this lineup that brings back a sense of hope and a buoyancy and how can we dream, how can we use magic, how can we be kind to each other and see the beauty in one another that helps them, each of us, see the beauty in who we are even when work is frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think it's a helpful, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction says to me that we are adapting. We have the capacity to adapt. We have so much to adapt to. The world is changing so fast in the last couple of years, and it's got another couple of years yet in this rapid evolution. And we're still in the deconstruct. We haven't really started reconstructing it. But the Jupiter-Uranus really says to me that we can adapt.
and reminds us that we have that we have that capacity if we're willing to work with it, even though it can be incredibly uncomfortable. And it may say that the freedom is not going back to remind us that the freedom is not going back to the job we lost, but what work can we move forward to? How can we move into a place that, where are we being called? And even though it's going to be hard in the meantime.
Right. Yeah.
So I like that conjunction.
Up there, yeah.
Well, we're going to get the sun going into Capricorn pretty quick now.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah.
Right after the lunar eclipse.
Yep, we have a lunar eclipse at the last degree of, Gemini. No.
Gemini.
Last degree of Gemini. And then the sun goes into Capricorn.
And we all dance under the Christmas tree. Yeah, no, I think it's a big one. And it's also back to June of 2009 when the conjunction took place. That was when Michael Jackson died. And that was when we had that period where it seemed like, is John, what's his name on? Drawing a blank on his name. John, whatever, he said, everybody you know is dying. Because it seemed like all the adults from our childhood were taken off at the same time.
Right, I remember that.
Remember that? John Stewart, thank you. It took a while there. Brain's moving a little slow tonight. And he had said, everybody you know is dying. And it did seem like there was a big exodus of people. And so this eclipse is echoing that moon, that new moon, and the stuff you began back then should be culminating now under it. And so it also brings up the story from 1992, last time the eclipse was there. And it's a kind of a cosmic wake-up, it's at the last degree, so it's a letting go energy. But out of the letting go, new beginnings come. So we have to say, okay, we're letting go of the old energy, new beginnings. So I have one client who started looking for a house back then. And she's actually close. She wrote me, she goes, is it okay if I close on the eclipse? And I said, memory serves me. You started looking back in June of then. And it's been a long journey because she had to sell the old house and look for the new. And so I said, forward, 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 no fear. You scheduled it for the eclipse. That must be the right fate. It's kind of like, and then you go, okay, why are we here? We're at a crossroads. And we are, literally, we're very much at a crossroads. So what's your journey ahead going to look like?
Yeah. I have a letter that from one of our viewers that we were talking about earlier that has a request for a chart to be read. So I'm going to bring that up in a minute. Do you want to give out the phone number and see if we can get people to call in?
The phone number if you want to call in is 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881, and 714 if you want us to call on you. Please press 1 and raise your hand, because otherwise I'm just going to assume you're listening. We do have a caller on the line, but they don't have their hand raised, so press 1 and we'll call on you. Okay, so the number is 347-215-8881.
And this is a question from Kay, and who has been out of work for a while and would like to know some information on work and in general, and also to grow her Reiki healing practice to support herself. And so it's been both her day job and her practice have been not floating her for a while now. So she was born August 20th, 1956, at 3:02 a.m. in Medford, Oregon. And let's see, I'm just doing this now. At 3:02 a.m. And
And so what do we see for her around the work situation as we are getting this together?
For those of you at home, August 20, 1956, 3:02 in the morning in Medford. Does she still live in Oregon?
I believe she does.
Okay.
And we have a Leo. She was born with 27-degree Leo Sun conjunct Pluto natally. And right before the full moon with her moon in Aquarius, 15 degrees. And a Cancer rising at 28 degrees. And her Mars at 23 degrees of Pisces. So Uranus and Jupiter have been going back and forth over her natal Mars and opposing her natal Mercury at 22 Virgo. Pluto has just entered her sixth house of healing work and the work that she does. And so it looks to me like, you know, her whole work situation went into its death and rebirth cycle as Pluto entered her sixth house. With Venus at 12, Cancer in the 12th house, and the asteroid Hygieia in the sixth house, it looks like the idea of a healing profession is a good place for her to be. What do you see, Anne?
I think I'm noticing the Neptune opposite the Sun Pluto. That's the thing I noticed. Sun in the second, Pluto in the second, and the Sun ruling the second. So with Neptune opposite that Sun Pluto, it's really asking her to kind of dissolve and change. She's got a lot of dissolving and changing aspects where things are shifting and moving into new things. She also has Saturn down at the very bottom of her chart. So traditionally, we say start a whole new life. You know, the old career isn't going to work for you anymore. The new career is, you know, because your old career dissolved. Pluto in the sixth says change your work. Neptune opposite the Sun Pluto says dissolve. And Neptune also squares then the Saturn in Scorpio. So, you know, it, to me, it's a reinvention, and I would say go back and look at what was going on, you know, 5 years ago when Saturn was in your second house, because that's when you learned what the new work would be. The chart's pretty fixed, so it tends to have, tends to stay maybe longer than it should where it is. And then with Saturn trining the ascendant, it's a bit of a grow, damn it, grow. I told you to grow, and it doesn't always grow, you know. And I don't know that Kay would give it up and move on to something different. She would say, you know, I'm going to stay and make this work. Whereas with the Neptune opposite the Sun Pluto, it's saying time to change, time to dissolve and do something on a different level. And the ruler of her midheaven, Mars, is retrograde, and that also has Jupiter-Uranus on it right now, saying, again, change, life direction. And
yeah, I see that too, all over the chart.
Yeah, a lot of change, life direction, change, life direction. So I would say, you know, if we were talking to her, how long have you been doing it? You know, what came in 5 years ago? Are you fixed and there's only certain ways for you to approach this? She's got a moon in Aquarius ruling that Cancer rising, so that can be a little bit, doesn't always listen to suggestions from people. Or, you know, people say, oh, maybe you should try this. And she's, oh, no, I've already tried that. So I would be curious about, you know, because the chart actually, you know, with Hygieia in the sixth and with the emphasis, you know, she definitely feels the energy with the Saturn square Pluto Sun. But I would say, how is she presenting herself to the world? Because this chart can, you know, I mean, I know people born in this time frame. This chart can make a lot of money. But if
and
it's
it can
not
do
making
anything
money, yeah, and if it's not making money, that suggests to me that there's a little bit of a stuck on path. You know, it's going to be this way or else, kind of stomp, stomp. And, you know, if it's that, it has to be my way, otherwise I'm not going to do it. And okay.
I also feel like that she has been in the situation where it's very hard to see what's, you know, it's, until the Neptune moves past that opposition. It's hard for her to see what she's becoming.
Right.
She really feels like she's in that, you know, that cocoon phase where she's dissolved. She's no longer the caterpillar, but she doesn't quite know what she's turning into yet.
Right.
And
it's Neptune's
and so
also
it's
squaring her Saturn, which is her work.
Right.
And it's also her clients, you know. So
right. With Saturn at the bottom of the chart, she may have, you know, some really tough circumstance around her that she's, you know, really constricted circumstance that has made it. And it may require that she either relocates or does in some ways shifts the circumstances to be in a to be able to bring in more energy to her life and her work.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, all that
there's
Neptune
also
very fun.
There's a tendency, she'll have a tendency to kind of feel that she's not prepared enough, or that there's
mm-hmm.
some missing piece, and mm-hmm. keep waiting for that. And yet, if she just takes a simple action, just keep stirring the pot, you know, keep something at least simmering, then things will open up when they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but don't wait for things to be ready. Instead, keep taking actions, and often little actions that just feel right, and you know, it just seems like this is something I can do now.
Mm-hmm.
Just go ahead and do it. But there's a tendency to wait and be a little bit afraid that it's the wrong timing.
Right.
And
right.
need to develop more of that intuitive sense of, no, you know, I don't have the big answer, but I think this step is correct for now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just do it. But don't try to second guess too much.
And Jupiter, it will be crossing her midheaven in not this spring, but the following spring. And that suggests to me that she's heading into some real career expansion.
Mm-hmm.
If she lines herself up between now and then to do so. I do think it. She may need to I'm not going to insist that she relocate, but that to really consider if where she is, and it could be a minor shift that she just that she needs to bring new energy into to reach a larger audience than she is at the moment for her work. What it looks like to me with Mercury in the third house and Mars, the ruler of the 10th and the 9th, that she's a natural teacher, and it's a great way to use that Leo Aquarius energy, that she's a natural teacher, but I don't think she thinks she knows she is, or she may doubt it, as you said, Mark. I think it was a really astute piece there, that the Mercury in Virgo can be the constant student, never quite believe they have enough information.
Yeah, with South Node in Gemini as well.
Yeah.
It's another
And as I say that, yes, I have that. I agree.
it's not necessarily bad. It's just how you use it.
But I know. You're like, bingo. You're right. But the with Mercury there, that the more she can write about what she does and teach what she does, the more she will naturally bring in more clients. So it feels like the writing and the teaching, it may be key to her day job too. I don't know if she could write and or teach and or train around the health-related field as a day job. And to write, to teach what she does, and use that to bring in more clients.
I find
and
sometimes
reach into areas that she doesn't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I find sometimes with people with Saturn in the 7th, or in
mm-hmm.
the 5th, rather, they have a reluctance to share what they know in a teaching environment. So I'd be curious her feedback on the teaching, because often it's a, they're going to get my knowledge, and then why are they going to come to me? So that can be a loaded sword. If she doesn't willingly teach or happily teach, then I would say that, you know, that is, I'm the creator of it. And if it's not mine, it's my thing. And a lot of times with metaphysical stuff, that territorial possessive thing can also block energy flow. So
I don't think that's going to be the case here.
No.
But I see that's a possibility.
Yeah.
But I agree that it has to be done willingly. She's got Venus and Cancer in the 12th, and that can just sometimes not feel like reaching out with vulnerable material, that it's a little hard to lead with the tender places in her, with Venus in Cancer and Mars in Pisces. Whereas, you know, the outer planets are so extroverted and the emotional planets are so introverted, there's a real contrast, and it can feel like I should be out there, only I'd rather not, than approach avoidance conflict.
Right.
But if she can really take it out there as the teacher in her progressed moon is back in Aquarius, and in 3 months it will be conjunct her natal moon. And that's, once every 28-year cycle of really reliving or reinvesting herself in her community also. But the more she can, because her moon is in the seventh house, partner with other people in the community and develop ways that her work supports their work supports her work, and work more. The more teamwork she can get involved in, the better. The more other ways that she can just get, when in doubt, be visible in the community, and that will also grow her practice if she can volunteer, if she can get involved and really embrace that moon in Aquarius. I think when people meet her, they may choose to work with her, but that Venus in Cancer would tend to, when it's not feeling confident, would tend to stay home. And so I just say that to really work on that, to play with that Aquarius approach for the next year and a half while her progressed moon's in Aquarius.
Mm-hmm. And Leo as well. I mean, being a sun in Leo, she's meant to be seen. So I think there is a visibility issue. And what we're seeing is go ahead and be visible. It's your job. And whether you're employed or not, that's your job. So do the job. Be visible.
Yes.
So did you say you had another person?
They didn't raise their hand. Okay. We did have somebody who did raise their hand, so we'll call them in.
Good.
Hi, 714. How are you? Hi, 714. How are you?
Hello. Hi. It's Irene.
Hi, Irene.
Hi. I'm a Virgo, and I had computer issues, Mercury retrograde, and so I had to call in to listen to the show, and I thought, well, I do have a question. Born September 18, 1962, 5:02 p.m. in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Okay, Irene.
5:02 p.m. where?
Honolulu.
Okay.
1962, and what was the time again? I'm sorry.
5:02 p.m.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And are you still in Honolulu?
No, I'm in California now.
Okay. All right, and what's your question, Irene?
And my question is, I'm feeling a little restless with my job, and I know it's not a good time to leave. And so I'm wondering if there's any changes in the workplace and romance. When's a good time for romance? There hasn't been any. With some wake up in April. Yeah, it was rough. It's been a rough couple of years. Yeah.
Okay, so the question is work change?
Work changes. When is there an opportunity for romance?
For romance changes, okay. And where are you in California right now?
Orange County.
Orange County, okay.
As we do your relocation chart. You know, this year, you know that the changes have already started whispering to you, but that this year is the kind of the warm-up for next year. The restlessness you're feeling now will probably manifest in action next year. Your natal sun is at 1 degrees of Libra in the seventh house of partnership and romance and relationships. And Uranus is already came close to opposing it once, mm-hmm. then retrograded back. And Uranus is the planet of great change, and it's about to oppose it again next spring.
Are we September 18 or September? Did I get the date wrong?
Maybe I got the date wrong. Hold on. No. You're right. I'm sorry. I'm 900 years off.
Okay. Yeah, no, September 1862, right? Just checking, because I might have typed it wrong. I'm a Virgo, too.
No. I was like, you're right. I thought it was making sense to me.
Okay. Cool.
Rectify. I had September
1862.
Mercury retrograde. No problem. Just 900 years off, that's all.
Which way?
Okay, that makes more sense. Oh, good. You have much calmer life. I'm so glad. But the... it's going to be interesting to see what this eclipse does this coming weekend, right before the solstice. It will be close to squaring your sun in the house of relationship. Your house is still in the seventh house. It will be close to squaring your sun. And that may precipitate some changes, which are part of why you are feeling so restless.
Okay.
And you also
I can see you might have itchy feet.
Yeah, yes. The moon at the very last degree of the 12th house, mm-hmm. where you've been hiding, not in a bad way, but for the last 30 months or so, you've kind of been tucked away, not really out in the world. And so when the moon comes to the ascendant, you say, okay, I'm ready to go out in the world a little bit more than I have been in the past. And it kind of starts a new cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And Jupiter in the second house also is... a new 12-year cycle around money and work and how you're valued. So you're ready. You're ready to go. I mean, the whole Venus retrograde thing this fall has kind of been hammering on your progress. Sun saying, okay, what am I doing? Where am I going? And it's kind of created a little bit of wanderlust because that new moon was at 13 Scorpio, the one at the beginning of November. So I think you'll have some opportunity. And it does look like it's a decent year for relationship because the solar arc nodes come into your sun. And that often brings in a partner of some sort. Look for a Virgo with stuff around 25 degrees, because this should be the third serious partner for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So the North Node's there, and right now as we're talking to you, Juno's on that point saying, I'm ready for a relationship, and the universe is like, yeah, we know. And in a couple of months, the progressed moon gets into Pisces, which is a lot more... merge based and in the first house, so you're going to be a little more emotionally available when the moon gets into Pisces and it comes to Jupiter, which is the ruler of your direction in life. So it's a directional change that takes place in about 6 months. So in about 6 months, when we get to June, plus then we've got everybody going into Aries, kind of starting a whole new thing. I think by June, I would be very comfortable with saying you're probably met somebody and are dating, and possibly even figured out what to do with the little itchy feet that you have. You don't have to do anything, but what you're doing is you're feeling spring kind of flowing through your chart. It's like a new spring is a-coming, and you're going, okay, I can feel it. Where is it? It isn't here just yet, but it is coming. And then when Jupiter gets to the first in your relocated chart in Orange County, which is later again in June timeframe, you start a new 12-year cycle around relationships. So I think this year you should pull one in over the springtime.
It does look like you need to do some healing around your emotional defenses, though, in the process.
Right.
That you have some real... you approach avoidance conflicts around relationships. The moon in Gemini can talk to anybody. Jupiter in the first house, people, you have a good first impression with people. But it looks like the Venus-Neptune conjunction in Scorpio
tends to have, you know, has the capacity to have really deep connections with people, really strong psychic bond when you do form them, but that you tend to, you might have in the past imagined that you knew somebody better than you did and then felt like your trust was betrayed and then pulled way back. And, you know, that have been standing back, that you kind of overtrust or undertrust, and are learning how to, I think the last relationship really set off that defenses and just pulled, you know, like burnt fingers. And that you're learning to trust yourself, not necessarily them, but to stay more centered in a relationship and stay more aware and ask more questions and be more curious about them rather than afraid to trust. Just be centered and curious. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, it makes a lot of sense. And having the time alone and away, I've had a lot of time to think. And, you know, now I'm like, today I'm tired of thinking and meditating and praying and all that. It's like, right.
Well, you've been in the closet for the last 30 months. You've been by yourself. It's been a very solitary time. When you've got the moon going through that 12th house, it's kind of a private, I'm alone. I like being alone. I'd prefer to be alone kind of energy to it. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I mean, I've had a lot of friends there, you know, too lonely, and I'm not. I mean, I raised my daughter, and I work in a busy hospital. So, I mean, it's like, when I go home, it's like, oh, there's my sanctuary. I just want to crawl into my house.
Right.
Yeah,
but I know that it's, you know, it's the human nature, human needs, and these people, and yeah, that my moon in Gemini, I'm usually much more sociable than I have been. So
good.
Yeah.
Well, once that moon gets out of the 12th, you'll feel much more like talking again and getting out, because really right now, what you're really in the mood to do is just kind of retreat. And you got to, you know, part of the staying at home, you know, it always, everything serves a purpose. So it's to, for you to look at relationship patterns and to think about what you really want and to really focus on your own development personally, so that when you go back out, that you're actually ready to be in a partnership. You're like, I'm here. I've woken up. I've given birth to myself. Because planets going through the 12th house, what they're really doing is they're finishing up a big cycle and getting ready to give birth to the new you. So they have a big purpose, and they have a lot of work that they're doing there, because it's like 9 months pregnant for a couple of years, you know. But you're pregnant, giving birth, but you're not ready to go yet.
Okay.
And there's no C-section on astrology, unfortunately.
Giving yourself time to spend, to be pregnant, to heal, and know that it's coming across soon.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find yourself really diving into life more, so that the restlessness is you know, like the Braxton Hicks contractions. The restlessness is helping you break the cycle of just staying home and comfortable at the end of the day, but starting to reach out, and you'll see a real difference when that moon comes across the ascendant.
Yeah,
because I'm like a nun and a monk right now, so it's like, okay, all right. Well, thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah,
Mark, you got anything to add?
No, I think you covered it well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nothing to add there.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Irene. Excuse me for coughing. Wait, let me. Okay, 917. Did I call on you yet? I don't know.
No.
No, hi, 917.
Hello.
How are you? You're on the air.
Great. I just kind of had a general question about, like, my future.
Okay.
And you know, my birthday was 9/25/57 at 6:37 in Miami Beach.
Okay. Are you on some kind of weird phone, or you have us on a delay?
Is that better? Is that better?
Yeah. What, 9/25/1957?
Mm-hmm. At 6:37 p.m.
With 57, not 67, okay?
Yeah, 5.
At 6:37?
Yes. In Miami Beach. And I guess I wanted to know, like, a little romantic stuff, but also, like, a little professional, you know, in the healing profession. And I'm just thinking about other things, too.
Okay. So let me just give it back because you were warbling at the beginning there. 7 September 25th.
No, yes.
195 is in after 4, before 6, 7.
Yes.
6:37 at night in Miami
yes.
Beach. Okay,
yes.
Cool. Yeah, it's Mercury retrograde, and we got a lot of Virgos involved here. Double check that data. All right. So your question is work and relationship stuff?
Well, I feel like I've been through a really rough couple of months,
yeah.
And I don't know why, but it's I don't know what transits or what, but I've been through, like, you know, a lot. And
you have.
Yeah.
What was
you
going
got a little more
that?
To go next springtime too.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Part one happened, so you know you got it. You see it now differently, and it's going to go back and say, "Can we maybe try this again in April, May, June when Saturn goes back to 10?" You're having the reverse of Irene, who's giving birth to herself. You're being forced out into the world from cozy little comfort land. Where the universe is saying, got to get out there, got to get out there. And it's like kicking you out of the nest. So it's, a, you know, you've she's been born, getting born. You're kind of being ejected. It's not fun.
No.
But it's good for you. You've got a whole new thing starting. You don't have to leave just yet. You're hanging on. You know, you got your hands hanging on to that seventh house cusp. But, yeah, you've been ejected from the nest, with the idea being the world thinks, the universe, Saturn, actually not the universe, Saturn thinks it's time for you to go out in the world. So he's kind of kicking
safe?
You out
will,
there.
Will it be, like, safe?
I mean,
will
they,
I be?
Yeah,
you know
the,
what I mean?
The good news is that Pluto is no longer squaring your Sun and Mars.
Right.
Okay.
And that you've been through a hellacious couple of years
yep.
with
oh.
that Sun-Mars square. And it brought up all of your trust issues, all of your, it looks like, early abandonment and feeling alone and like you were the only, you had to do everything yourself issues. And really, you know, asking you to reach into spirit and to the deeper places in your soul to manage.
Mm-hmm.
And
is the end result good?
And, you know, that you're not feeling like you're dying anymore, but you haven't quite, you know, you're being forced to come back alive, and you'll feel more like it in the springtime than you do now.
Hmm, okay. So I don't have to worry.
Tell me about your work. You've got four planets in the sixth house, and you mentioned healing work, because, you know, your chart has some interesting paradoxes natally. You know, it has... You know, some very warm-hearted aspects and some parts of you that really want to pull back from the world. And then you have, you know, the outgoing and the extreme introversion. So you've got some really interesting mixes in your chart. And it looks like there's two very different issues with your work, which feels like it's been the mainstay and something that you feel like you could count on until recently. And your relationship issues, which have always been more volatile and more emotionally intense for you.
Right. Well, I wish that my work would settle down and my love relationships would start to, like, happen again, because everything's been on freeze.
Like Anne says. Tell me about the work.
Well, the work is just something.
I'm
a healer, and I work with people for over 25 years, but I'm also a painter and other things, and I just feel like I want to change, but it's very hard to sort of change what you've done for so long. I feel like there's just been a lot of unsafety around me, and I wanted to feel like some sense of safety and security lately. I had a lot of betrayal going on, and you know, it just left me feeling very vulnerable and very regressed, and it's been very, very hard.
And I think that makes it your healing practice, that your energy just hasn't been in your healing practice, and it's been so good, and you've been so present to it. But I think when you got your fingers burnt, it just feels the hurt in you pulled back, and then you're much less interested. Like, you could use a break from your healing work for a while.
Yeah.
It's not that you need to quit it, but you need to take a break from it until you feel like pouring your heart back into it again.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that may come fairly soon. I mean, there's a lot that talks about you warming up your heart again. But those betrayal trust issues are one of this lifetime's issues for you to heal. And I think we could go back to some very early cases where you felt like people weren't there for you when you needed it.
Right.
So, you know, really being there for yourself, feeling God is all that is there for you when other people screw up.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, I really had to go into that a lot, and I know exactly what you're saying.
Because,
that really makes sense.
Because it's been, and then you don't miss the good people or the people that can be there for you.
Right.
I just think that you've got to find something that's more objective. It feels like leaning in on the artwork. You know, right now your progressed Venus is at the top of the chart. And Saturn has just finished a square to it. If the more you can use your artwork, some form of illustration or craft that you can use to sell and to lean in on economically. And it's also just very good therapy for you right now to paint your heart out.
Yeah, I just got permission to do a big painting that came out of the blue for me.
Wonderful.
I just, you know, was doing that. But, you know, I feel a little lonely, you know, at this particular moment in my life, and I usually don't. I just was like, maybe it's just, you know, the planets. I don't know.
But,
well,
it is.
I think it's good.
Hoping for
Go
some
ahead,
love in the future.
Well, I think that what you're really working on now is kind of a redevelopment of what you believe love to be. Pluto natally is in your fifth house of love given, love received, and he's on your midheaven, and he gets up there, and he says to you, what's the definition? You know, you defined it a lot through your work. You know, and the show kind of balances. At the beginning of the show, we were talking about work being the defining thing that we have, that we define ourselves through work. And now your chart at the end is saying, I don't want to define myself through my work anymore. I want to define myself through my creativity. And I want to understand how to change that paradigm. I'm very other-oriented, but I'm, you know, I keep giving, and I'm feeling bereft. And so going back to the sun ruling the fifth house, it says, let me find a way to go back into my creativity and get refueled. And with the, you know, if you can do that, that would help a lot, because then Saturn coming into the seventh is a partnership planet. You know, for you, Saturn is a relationship guy because he is in Sag, and you've got Jupiter right angular there. So he's going back and forth, and he's stationing on one of your relationship planets through now in the spring. But what it really has to be is the creative part of you, because that's the part that's going to magnetize in the partner that you want to actually be with, rather than the partner that is going to be attracted to kind of the low energy. You know? So,
interesting. That's
I think
perfect.
The art would help you regenerate yourself, and then once you did that, then you would be attracting partner.
Very good.
And it looks like relationship by the spring, you know, May, June, when Saturn gets back to 10. He's sitting on your descendant. So, and if you go back to 81, you were in a big relationship then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the new one coming in should be a comparable kind of energy to that as he goes through your seventh house. Yeah, I mean, not necessarily, you know, with 30 years of information on your side, you know, where you've done 30 years of living in the world and being in relationship to others. So that's good.
Well, thank you so much. That really helps, because I can paint and relax and know that that's where I need to be for a little while.
Yeah, yeah. It will really help you feel regenerated, you know.
And you'll feel very different in the springtime.
Yeah.
Thank you both so much, and have a wonderful holiday, okay?
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, the British lady spoke, and we have 30 seconds left.
This is Mark Waltz signing off from New York City.
Mm-hmm. And Ann Ortley signing off from New York City.
And Heather Rowan Robbins signing off from snowy Minnesota. Have a safe, lovely, warm, cozy week. And remember, prioritize safety under Mercury retrograde.
Right. And watch out for that Mercury-Pluto where you can get yourself in trouble by shooting off your mouth a little too soon. All right. So take care, folks. Have a good week. Be careful out
Thank
there.
You.
There's nasty aspects. All right. Bye-bye.